So we're finishing up our series, What Are We Praying For? What are we praying for as individuals? What are we praying for as a church? And so today, we're going to be finishing that series off, and our title for our sermon today is We Are Praying For Boldness. Boldness to go out and pray for the neighbors that you love so much. Boldness for handing out invitations to our Easter Sunday service. Boldness for telling your family members and your co-workers and your fellow students about who Jesus is. Boldness. So when I was a kid, I had these friends. They were brothers, two brothers, the Moran brothers. We had a different name for them. We called them the Moron brothers. But they weren't. Actually, they were super smart guys, and we got to know them quite a bit. Like me and my brother, we were. I would say they were probably two of our very closest friends for a number of years. We've lost touch over the last couple of years, but I mean, we've known each other since we were 12 years old, right through until our 40s for sure. And a lot of the things that I did in my life, I did along the side of these two brothers. Their dad, he was an iron worker. He was a steel worker. He had his own company. And they would do rebar. And so their dad was this tough guy. Like, he was tough. He was a gentle giant at the same time. But he was a hard man. And I just remember Ray was his name. And I remember that Ray, he had he had iron worker hands. Like I got painter's hands. They're like little. Because you got to get in there with the brush and paint and all that kind of stuff, right? But this guy, he had these, like, they were bear paws. Like, he would put his hand up against, like, your hand, and he could, like, crush it. Or he could, like, just grab you by the top of the head and just go, yeah, no, you're over here now. Like, he just had these massive bear paws. And he had this thing that he would do, and he did it all the time. And I just remembered it forever. Like, I still remember it now. He would shake your hand. And, like, you would feel it because he let you know that he was shaking your hand. And he would shake your hand and he would say, shake the hand that shook the world. And that was his little saying all the time, eh? And you were like, oh, my gosh, you're shaking my whole body right now. You're breaking my hands here, my poor, soft little painting hands. But that was his saying. Hey, shake the hand that shook the world. And, you know, and it was kind of funny, but at the same time, there was a real boldness to it. Like, he was really bold. He was confident in who he was. And he was like, if you're going to shake my hand, you're going to know that you experienced a handshake from me. Like, you're going to know that you just met me. And so I always remember that. I was like, man, that's bold. Like, that, there's some boldness in that. And he passed away a number of years ago. I remember I went to the funeral and I had a chance to speak a little bit at it. And I was able to share a little bit about kind of just the influence that he had on my life. And one thing that I remember at that funeral as they had an open mic was almost everyone that came up to share, they would go back to that little statement that he made. And they'd be like, oh yeah, that Ray, he had that hand that shook the world. And that's what people said about him. Like he shook the world. And so my question for us this morning is what are people going to say when their lives cross our path? Like, what are people going to say about us when they meet us? Are they going to say, oh, like, I remember this person. That person shook my world. Or are they going to say, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that guy. He was a Flames fan or something, and he's pretty mad this morning because the Flames lost to the Canucks. And I kind of remember that guy. He talked a lot about hockey, but he was a pylon on skates. Like, what are people going to say, though? What are people going to say when our days come to an end? What are our neighbors going to say about us? What are our family members going to say about us? What are our coworkers going to say about us? Are they going to remember that they met who we, like, they met us? That we actually made an impact on their lives? Our main scripture this morning is going to be found in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. Let me read that for you. I'm reading out of the NLT. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So let me give you a little bit of context as to why we're in this verse right now. What's happened here, just before this actual prayer takes place, what actually happens is Peter and John, they've been going around and they've been preaching the gospel and they've been performing miracles and wonders and they've been letting people know about who Jesus is. And just before this happens, what they've done is one day they're going up to the temple and they're going for afternoon prayer time. And outside of that temple, there's a beggar at the door. And he's asking for money. And he's a crippled man. He doesn't walk. And he's been crippled his whole life. So someone brings him here, puts him outside the temple doors, sets him down, and then they leave him there for the day. He begs for his money, and then they come pick him up and they take him home. 40 years he's been outside of that temple asking for money. This one afternoon, Peter and John, they come up, and he's asking them for money, and Peter turns around, he looks at him, he goes, yeah, like, look at us, because they were still kind of like, they were in ministry. Look at us, we're in ministry. We got no money. So they said, look at us. We don't have anything to give you, but what we do have, we will give you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to stand up and walk. What do you think happens? That guy stands up and he starts walking. It's a miracle. He was born crippled. He wasn't walking. 40 years he hadn't walked. He'd been outside that door. Peter comes up. He says, in the name of Jesus, you can stand up now and you can walk and you can start living your life. And what happens is this all happens in a very public place. And there's a crowd around. Everyone witnesses this because everyone knew who this guy was. 40 years he'd been outside of this door. So everyone recognizes what's happened. And they all start gathering. And everyone's like, whoa, did you see what just happened? Like little Joe over here that hasn't walked. Joe. This is just the first name that came to my mind, Joe. I don't know why. That's just little Joe over here hasn't walked in 40 years. Look at this. This guy just prayed in the name of Jesus. He got up and walked. And it's very public. And so what Peter does is he takes the opportunity, because now he's got a crowd of people that are listening. And they're going, what's going on over there? And he starts telling them about who Jesus is. And this is who Jesus is. And he actually calls them out a little bit. He tells them, you know, Jesus, the guy that you all turned your backs on, like the guy that you picked this murderer to set free, and you said, hey, this guy over here, let's crucify him. Like, we just did this thing in the name of Jesus. And he starts preaching the gospel right there on the spot. And word gets out because now there's a crowd. Religious leaders, they come running up, and they're like, what is happening here? They're incensed. They're losing their minds. Who do you two think you are? And what do you think you're doing here? What do you think you're doing talking about Jesus? We crucified him. You can't be here doing this thing. So they arrest them. And they put him in jail. The next morning, Peter and John have to face all these religious leaders. And they're going to be questioned. And it's all the same ones. Literally the same ones that tried Jesus and put him to death. And this is who Peter and John have to face in the morning. But Peter, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what he does? He has a go at him. Like, he's bold and he has a go at him. And he goes, yeah, we were doing this. We were preaching the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's right. The one that you crucified? Like the one that you thought you took care of? The one that you thought you snuffed out? Actually, God raised him from the dead. And we're going to keep preaching it. That's bold, because these guys had just crucified Jesus. They had the power to take the life of Peter and John. And Peter goes, yeah, you know you did this thing? It didn't take. Because God actually raised him from the dead, and I'm calling you out on it. Whoa, that's bold, eh? That's bold. I don't think I'm that bold. When I got my speeding ticket a few weeks ago, I could hardly tell that cop that I was going to church. I tried because I thought he'd get me out of the ticket, but it didn't work. So he's bold. Peter's bold. He goes on and he tells him this. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Whoa. That is brave and bold and courageous. So much so that these religious leaders are actually amazed by it. They're super angry, but they're also amazed. They're like, who does this guy think he is? Like, he's telling us this. And then I go, right, here's the deal. We're going to let you go today, but don't do this sort of thing again. Because we're going to deal with you. Not right now, because you're being a real, like, you're being kind of bold. And that terrifies us a little bit. But don't do it again. Because if you do, we will deal with you. So that's the context of where we are now in our scripture. Peter and John, they're threatened really with death in that point, right? Like in that meeting, they're threatened with death. It's a veiled threat, but it's there. They know what it means. Keep doing this and it's going to cost you everything. So what do? They get released. The first thing that Peter and John do is they go back to their people. The first thing. They're out of jail. Bam, they're gone. They go to their people. Why? Because we don't do the faith journey alone. It's a rhythm of faith. We talked about it last week. What's a rhythm of faith? We do our faith journey together. Peter and John are threatened with death. The first thing they do is they go to their people because you don't do faith alone. And then the group's immediate response to this is that they go into prayer. Like immediately they go into prayer. And what did that prayer look like? Was it, oh, yikes, they're going to come get us. Oh, God, please protect us. Protect us from these religious leaders. They're going to kill us. Can you please just keep us safe, oh God? And they're crying and they're gnashing their teeth. And they're going, oh, they're coming. They're going to come get us, God. A hedge of protection around us. Please keep us safe. We just want comfy lives. Really, we just want trouble-free evangelism. We want to tell people about you, but can we just do it in a safe way? That's not their prayer. That's not what they're praying. Lord, give us great boldness. Give us great boldness. We want unshakable spiritual conviction. We want courage and we want the faith that we need. We want urgency to obey the call on our lives. We want urgency to obey the call on the church. No matter what the cost, make us bold. Make me bold. That's the immediate prayer that they come up with. So I have a question for you this morning. How amazed are people by your boldness? On a scale of 1 to 10. Take a second, think about it. How amazed are people by your boldness to share Jesus? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you, unless you want to tell us. I'm going to tell you mine. How amazed are people by your boldness? I'm going to say that some of you are sitting here and you're actually kind of being modest. And you're going, I'm okay at it. I'm not great. I'm probably a 5 or a 6. But the truth is, you're actually being a little bit modest in it because you're actually walking around at a 9. Yeah, some of you are walking around at a 9 in your boldness for the gospel. People recognize your character as the character and heart of Jesus. People recognize your tangible love for others. People see your giving of your gifts and your abilities and your time and your resources. people see you cultivating relationships where you're sharing your faith. Some of us are walking around at a 9. Others, not so much. So when I came back to Jesus, when I gave my life back to Jesus, I was working construction. I was a painter. Again, I don't want to paint the outside of the church, but I think that might land on my plate. Doug's going to help me. He's going to go up the ladder. So I don't know if I want to be looking up at that. I was going to go in the wrong direction with those jokes, Doug. My filters worked. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filters. So I was working construction, and I had just kind of given my life back to Jesus, and I was on fire. Like, I was like, oh, Jesus has saved me from all these poor choices in my life, and I really should have been dead, and I should have been dead 1,000 times over in a span of years. And Jesus rescued me for that. And I'm at this job, and I'm working with a bunch of other guys, and I remember this. I remember as on fire as I thought I was, I remember saying to one guy one week, going, yeah, I can't work this Sunday. The guy's like, oh, we're going to work overtime. You want to come work Sunday? I can't. I got to go to church. What? He says, what? You go to church? You're a Christian? I've been working beside you for like a year. I didn't know that about you. Oh. Yeah, he kind of saved my life from myself. That was his response. What? You're a Christian? I didn't know that. Do you know what he was really saying to me? He was saying this. Huh. I didn't really see any fruit from your life. Like, there was nothing in your life that gave any evidence that you were a Jesus follower. Oh, man, you want to get checked on your faith walk? Have someone kind of say something like that to you. Where was I on that scale of boldness? I was less than a 2. He saw nothing in my life that would have let him know that Jesus had rescued me from death. A 2. I was sitting at a 2. No one was amazed by my boldness. Have you found yourself on that end of the scale at all ever? I'm sure we have. How bold are you? Are people going to say about you, oh, definitely that person there, they're a Jesus follower. There's no doubt. You can tell. You can tell by their behavior. You can tell by the way they treat others. You can tell about their giving. You can tell everything that they do screams Jesus. Or are they going to say, huh, I didn't know that. You're a Christian. Okay. Let's take a look at this prayer again. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. It shook. The building shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the word of God with boldness. After that prayer, then the meeting place shook. Like, I haven't experienced a lot of earthquakes. Growing up in Alberta, you don't really experience them. You don't experience them at all. But I remember when we first moved here, one day Heidi's parents were visiting from out of town, and everyone was in bed, and me and Charlie, my father-in-law, were sitting there in the living room. We're watching probably the Flames lose again. And all of a sudden, there's this boom. And the whole house just kind of did this within seconds. And our railing, our wrought iron railing in our stairs, just kind of rang. Bang. I was like, me and Charlie looked at each other, and both our eyes must have been as big as saucers. And we looked at each other, and we're like, oh, I think I know what that is. And I get up. It's late. Everyone's sleeping. I go out and I go, I don't know what to do because I've never experienced anything like that. And I go out to the front door and I open the door. It's the middle of the night. I open the door and I'm like, and I look around and I'm like, this isn't doing anything for what just happened, but I don't know what else to do. So, and I close the door and I go back in and I say to my father-in-law, I think that was a quake. Like, I think that was something. And then I go on Facebook because that's where you go for all your up-to-date news. And yeah, everyone's putting on there. I'm like, this many people are up in the middle of the night on Facebook? Go to bed, people. And everyone's posting on there, that was an earthquake. Did you feel the earthquake? It was an earthquake. I'm like, oh. And it was little. Like, it was just a little shake. My brother, when he lived in Chile, man, they had quakes all the time where they were running out of their apartment and, like, out onto the streets because the building was moving from side to side. So much so that they actually got used to it, he said. And after 7 years, when the building trembled, they didn't even leave the building. They're like, oh, yeah, it's just another one. It's not the big one. The big one happens, all of Chile is going to go into the water anyways. Just like us, that's what's going to happen here. It's true. When the big one hits here, we're going in the water, folks. I got my earthquake repair kit, like, in my shed. It's not going to matter. We're all going to be in the water, folks. And then we're going to see. Who are we going to see there, eh? I'm going to be like, huh. I thought this person would have been here. Saw him every Sunday morning. The place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached boldly. And here's what some people say. I've been one of these people. Yeah, I'm just not really a bold person. You guys can buy that if I say it right. I'm super timid. Like, it takes a lot to get me up here talking. Are you just going to get up and walk out of my sermon again now, too? By the way, if you didn't know who said, yeah, right, that was my wife. But some people are going to say this, yeah, I'm just not that person. Like, I'm timid and I'm quiet. And I'm more kind of in the background. I'm a reserved person. I really am more timid. Can I tell you something about that? Don't take offense to this. Let me tell you something about it, though. In the biblical sense, boldness is not a personality trait. Like, it's not an excuse. When it comes to the kingdom, you saying that my personality trait is to be timid and quiet and in the background, guess what? That doesn't hold any water. It really doesn't. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you may be a naturally quiet person, but through the Holy Spirit, what happens is that spiritual courage lands all over you, and boldness comes with that. It has nothing to do with your personality trait. It has everything to do with the working power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to take a hold of your timid personality, and you're going to be up here, and you're going to be preaching. And they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came, and they preached. That's what they did. What they didn't do is have a bunch of meetings about it. They didn't. I mean, meetings are good. You got to have some strategy. I'm part of the leadership team. We got to sit down and have some meetings to kind of steer the ship, for sure. But what they didn't do was put all their eggs in that basket. What they didn't have to do was go and pump themselves up first. Oh, well, now we got to go, you know, now we got to go tell people about Jesus. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling us, so, oh, we better get ourselves worked up. They didn't put on, like, their favorite, like, you know, workout jams playlist from Spotify and start, you know, okay, we're going to get ready and we're going to do this. They didn't have to pump themselves up. They didn't have to do this. They didn't have to put on those jams. I'd be interested looking out at this crowd, what your pump out jam playlist looks like. Because I look at this crowd and I'm like, I would love to hear what you guys put on to pump yourselves up. I'm going to guess, it's a wild guess, that it's not going to be 90s techno like mine. I'm going to guess it's not 90s techno, because that's what I do when I'm pumping myself up. It's just, psh, 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 psh. I'm like, oh yeah, I can run through walls right now with this. They didn't do this. They didn't have to pump themselves up. They didn't do all their pre-stretching, their pre-game pep talk with all the cliches. All right, folks, we're going to do this. We're going to go tell everyone about Jesus, and we're going to give 110%. And then after 110%, we're going to leave it all on the ice, and we're going to leave it all on the court, and we're going to leave it all on the field. That's what the Canucks do. We're going to give it 110%, and then we're going to go do this thing. What they did was is that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they preached boldly. Bam, 1-2. But I got to tell you something this morning. I got to give you a bit of a warning in the middle of all this. If you're ready to pray this prayer, make me bold, because that's the prayer. Like, if you're ready to pray that today, it's a dangerous prayer. Like, it's dangerous. Because what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to show up. It's dangerous. You're going to see opportunities to be bold like you never imagined. It's a dangerous prayer. Make me bold. Now some of you are thinking, is he really going to ask me to preach? Is he really going to ask me to lead a small group? Oh, well, what if I'm at work and I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation? And yeah, so this is our quarter this year, and here's where we need to invest our money. And also, Jesus loves you. Like, is that what he's talking about? Like, is that what the Holy Spirit's going to move me to? Maybe. Maybe not. But there's going to be a number, an immeasurable number of ways that the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you. Maybe you're going to find yourself prompted to pray for someone when you're not a public prayer. Like, I remember when I started in the schools, I had a friend who became a friend, actually. It was the resource officer for my family of schools. And we got along really well. And one day, I go to one of my schools that I'm helping him at, and he's coming out of the building because we're supposed to run a club, and he's sick as a dog. Like, he's sick. He's like 10 steps away from me, and he is sick. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you got some kind of weird flu, bud. Maybe it was COVID. It was before COVID. Maybe it was his fault. And he comes, and I'm like, oh, yikes. And you know what the Holy Spirit says to me right in that moment? Hey, it's time to be bold. You're going to pray for him right here. I'm like, we're in front of the high school, literally in front of the doors at lunchtime. There are kids coming out. There are kids going in. There is staff going in. There is staff going out. We got hundreds of people coming in and out of that building in that moment. And I said to the Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Can you see all the people? You want me to pray for him right here, right now? Yeah, nah, I'm a 2 on boldness. And the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, no, you're doing this. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm doing this right now, right here. And I went over and we chat or whatever. And I'm like, so this is going to sound weird, but can I pray for you here right now? And like, he knew I was a Christian. He knew I was working with Youth for Christ and all that. And he's like, sure. I'm like, oh, shoot. How did you not think this was weird, bruh? Yeah, sure, he says. Oh, no. Here I go. I put my hand on him. I close my eyes. I can feel people walking past us. Like, we have not moved off to the side. I'm praying for him. And I'm praying for physical healing, but also now I'm praying for my friend. And I'm praying that Jesus just loves him. And we have this prayer time, and I say amen. And he's not healed in that moment. He's not. Like, wouldn't that be the story? He's like, oh, I feel like $1 million. Let's go run our club. He's like, okay, I still feel like garbage. I'm going to go. I'm like, okay. But what happened was this. It completely changed our relationship. Our conversations after that were never the same again. We sat down and we talked about faith like you wouldn't believe. Over and over and over again. We would meet early and we would stay late after club so that we could have conversations about who Jesus is. And I wish I could tell you that he gave his life to Jesus. I don't know. He moved. Him and his family moved to Nelson. But what I do know is that I followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and it changed the conversation. Where that's going to go, that's up to God. But the seed was planted, and it wouldn't have if I had just stayed in my car and said, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Or if I'd sat in my car and turned on my techno and go, okay, I'll do it, Holy Spirit, but I need to pump myself up with a bunch of music and a bunch of memorized scripture and get it all down and get it right before I go over there. No, I just had to go and do it. It's a dangerous prayer. Make me bold. The Holy Spirit is going to show up. Maybe he's going to tell you, hey, you're in a position right now where you have to stand up and call out bad behavior. Make me bold. Maybe he's going to prompt you to say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to follow the culture's view on sexual purity and relationships. I'm not going to live with my boyfriend or girlfriend or sleep around. Oh, make me bold. Maybe you're going to see someone that's hurting. And you're going to go up and tell them, hey, I'm bringing you to church this Sunday. Not inviting. I am coming to your house and I am picking you up and I am bringing you with me to church this Sunday. Make me bold. There are going to be so many different ways that God is going to manifest through the Holy Spirit when we pray this dangerous prayer. Make me bold. So here's something that we can do this week. How about we set our alarms on our phones, our watches, our tablets, our laptops, whatever it is that you're using. How about you set an alarm on that every day and pray this prayer. Lord, today, make me bold. I'm not talking for the next 6 months. I'm talking about just this week. Just this 1 week out of 52 weeks. 1 week. Set your alarm and pray this prayer. This week, let's do it. And let's see what happens on Sunday for Easter. Every day. Before you go to class, before you go to work, whatever it is that you do, set your alarm and then pray this dangerous prayer. God, make me bold today. May I have the faith to believe that you're going to show up and do only the things that you can do. See, Peter and John, they were in the middle of real persecution. They'd already been arrested and threatened. And then they were arrested again. And you know what they did? They kept going. They kept preaching Jesus. They kept watching God show up. And they kept watching people get saved. Those religious leaders, they said, we will stop you. Like, that's what they said to them. Yeah, they got arrested that second time. And they're sitting in jail. You know what happens? A Lord of the angels shows up. An angel shows up and he opens the gate for them. And you know what he says to them? All right, boys, back to work. That's what he says, eh? All right, boy, I can just imagine it. Opens it up. All right, boys, back to work. Away you go. Let's go. It's a dangerous prayer. But if you're daring enough to pray, make me bold, there's going to be three things that you're going to see. The first is this. Boldness always triggers spiritual opposition. Boldness always triggers spiritual opposition. We have an enemy that wants to destroy and kill everything around him. Peter and John, jailed twice, flogged. Eventually, it cost them their lives. It cost them their lives, and it wasn't pretty. So the truth is this, we really shouldn't worry about spiritual opposition when we're being obedient to God. When we should worry is when we're not running into spiritual opposition. You know why? Because it means we're not really being obedient to God's call on our life. If you're not running into any spiritual opposition, you might be at a 2 in your boldness scale. And the enemy's going, I'm not going to bother with that guy. He's not doing anything. I'll leave him alone. He's safe. Number 2, boldness often releases God's miracles. See, when you live with bold faith, then what happens is you see the hand of God move miraculously in you and through you. You will see it. God will show up. Like when Luke is writing about Peter and John being in jail, and he writes that part about the angel showing up, he says this, yeah, an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. This real plain Jane sentence. An angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out, period. No exclamation marks, no caps in the sentence, not, oh my days, you're not going to believe what just happened. An angel just showed up. He was 10 feet tall, and his eyes were blazing, and he had this 6-7 foot sword that was on fire the size of a Honda Civic. Like, it doesn't say that. It says, an angel of the Lord came at night, and he opened the gates of the jail, and he brought them out. That's all he says. Do you know why it's like that? Because when you're walking in the obedience of God, you shouldn't be surprised that he shows up. You can't be surprised that he shows up. It should be like, oh yeah, there he is again. He showed up again. Why? Okay, I'm going to keep moving on. He will show up when you are bold. Third, boldness requires faith. You're going to have to live by faith in this. You will. That angel, when he lets Peter and John out of jail, he actually tells them, go and preach the message of light. So really what he's saying to them is, you know that thing that you were doing that got you arrested twice? You know that thing that you were doing? That thing that might cost you everything? Yeah, go do that again. Like, that's what the angel's saying to them. That thing that almost cost you your life, go do that again. That's faith. It takes faith. God, make me bold. And watch as the Holy Spirit prompts you to do things that are going to take faith. In our last series, we learned about faith. Big faith. Big faith is about God's faithfulness to us, not our faithfulness to God. So God will show up, because what he does is he signs both sides of the contract. And he goes, I will show up. So as I get ready to close here this morning, I go back to my friend's dad saying, shake the hand that shook the world. It was a bold statement. I'll never forget it. God, he shook the whole world when his son Jesus rose from the grave. He shook that entire room when the early believers prayed for boldness. City Light, God's going to shake your lives. He's going to shake this church. He's going to shake our mission field. Because you never know what God is going to do and set into motion when we come to him and pray, make me bold. Amen?